Blog Talk Radio.
Woo! Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't to wait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Fellas, fellas, y'all ready to go to work?
That's what I do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to work. Chicks and dudes, you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you, of course, by War Room Sports. We are your distinguished panel of hosts. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm at the War Room Roundtable with Akil Bayon, B. Austin, James the Blueprint Williams, who is back in the building, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we're going to talk NBA All-Star Weekend in L.A. We're also going to play another round of HOF. Or FOH. But as always, we're going to catch you up on all the big stories in the week of sports. And as usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight. So when we open up the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, call in and tell us what's on your mind. That number is 323-410-0012. But right now, we're going to welcome Jimbo Slice back to the show by having him tell y'all who's having a birthday today.
My birthday!
Yo!
Yay!
What's up, good brothers? I'm back, you know, back like cook crack. And I want to talk about these birthdays brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. You know, like, again, the birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. We got some good birthdays I want to talk about, so let's just get it started. Lorenzo Levon Kirkland, Dev. What you got on brother
Yay!
Kirkland?
Levon Kirkland? I don't know. Hey, I mean, what can you say about Levon Kirkland?
I got something to say.
All right, go ahead, Austin. What you got to say?
Talk about how slow he was in his later years, but, you know. Go ahead, B. Austin, you got it.
Levon Kirkland was the fattest linebacker to ever play in the National Football League. No one ever played middle linebacker at 310 pounds other than Levon Kirkland.
Yo, let me add to that with Levon Kirkland. He was 6'1", 300, ran a 4.8. His freshman year at Clemson, he was 205 as an outside linebacker. Senior year, drafted at 240, ran a 4.6. But because of that 3-4 scheme, they needed him to play inside linebacker, so he threw on like 60 pounds and only lost like a tenth of a second off his 40.
That's crazy.
His lateral movement was none of that.
I still ain't got nothing to say about the dude.
Yo, all right, I got somebody else for you guys. How about Albert Al Harrington?
My birthday, yay!
Should have been, could have been more.
Yo, Al Harrington is the gunnest eighth man ever to play in the NBA. Yo, dude gets in the game and puts it up. He does nothing else but shoot and score. He can't defend. Yo,
how you done as an eighth man, though? That's
like
what's
funny
about it, yo. You done it
at
eighth slot, though, seriously?
I just made up a new position. Dude, as
the
eighth man.
Yo, how you get your own sneakers coming off the bench?
Yo, because Kmart.
Yo, Al Harrington, nice. Brother Bay, what you got to say about it?
Yo, yeah, he should have been more. I mean, 6'9", and can do just about everything. But, you know, I guess his best years were in Golden State when they had that playoff run and they had them playing like center.
Yeah, that's because they didn't play no defense. They just ran the rock and, you know what I mean? No defense. Anyway, I got another birthday for you. Here go a good birthday for you guys. I know you guys will appreciate this one. It's the birthday of one Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So, Bay, what you gotta say about MJ?
Yo, we all know how, you know, great he was, but yo, homie about to try to come back.
Please don't, Mike. Hey, Mike, don't come back, Mike. Cut it out.
Yo, you know what, though, Bay, about that? He goes to practice when he owns these teams and takes advantage of bad teams like the Wizards and Bobcats, and that makes him think that he can come back for some more. But yeah, in my opinion, MJ is the greatest player of all time, at least the greatest player that I've seen. So, you know, shout out to him. Happy birthday.
Yeah. B. Austin, I know you got something you got to say about this.
My prayer rug is out. I'm on my knees.
Paul.
Normal. He is, of course, the greatest to ever do anything athletic, in my opinion. I mean, what else can be said? Although I will say this, don't come back, Mike. Man, just be satisfied with busting Gerald Wallace ASS in practice and leave it at that. Man, don't come back.
Michael Jordan,
Paul Silas capping his head up. Paul Silas coming in the papers talking, yeah, Mike is, man, for 15 minutes a game, he could still do 21 of come on, man.
You know what, though?
We love
they got
Mike.
Paul Silas. They got Paul Silas a one-year extension, too.
Yo, real quick, all I got to say about Mike is one of the top five players of all time. And with that being said, I still think he's overrated. But anyway, happy birthday to Mike anyway. This last birthday, another good one. James Nathaniel Brown. But you guys know him as the incomparable
Yay!
Jim Brown.
Yeah.
So, Dev, what you got on Jim Brown?
I ain't see Jim Brown play, but dude is like legend. He's like the Wilt of football. And every time I see him, even today at like 640 years old, dude just look mean every time you see him.
Yo, he's still mean, yo. Yo,
and he makes
you
think, I'm going to get you, sucker.
Brother Ben, what you got to say about Jim Brown?
Like, when it comes down to ranking the greatest running backs, and everybody compares yards and stats and everything, you know, people fail to realize that, if I'm not mistaken, as early as Jim Brown played, he was doing this in, like, 10, 12 games, all his yards, where everybody else, has, like, 15.
Well.
Go ahead. I know you got something you got to say. Hot block, Commander.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Dr. Bayon route. Yo, dude was 6'1", 235 pounds, ran a 4.2, 8.40, ran like a 10.200 meters, and got 12,400 and some yards playing in 12-game seasons in 9 seasons. Yo, dude was Sasquatch, man. And although I have to go with Barry as my greatest of all time because I saw him, I don't get mad at all when people say Jim Brown was the greatest. Not at all.
Yo, now me personally, I've never seen this man play, but I still got him number one just based upon stuff that my old heads told me. Yo, when they talk about Jim Brown, you think they're talking about somebody who's not human. If you talk to any older cat that watch football or knows football that have seen Jim Brown play, it's like you said, it's like Sasquatch. You don't think this guy is real, like some of the stuff that he did. And not only that, Jim Brown made the Crips and Bloods put the guns down.
his athletic numbers translate to him being a great back today. Like, he would be Steven Jackson if he played today.
Yo, I got a question for you. If you look at, like, those birthdays, you got Jordan and Jim Brown. How would you compare those two in terms of being a sports icon?
Jimmy coming with an intellectual hate for Mike.
I'm not hating.
I wasn't even thinking
in terms of what you were thinking of, B. Austin. I'm just saying in general, these guys.
I mean, Michael Jordan is the bigger sports icon because he came in a time period where, you know, it was possible to be a bigger. You know, he came with the ESPN and the, you know, Nike getting big and just you know, a lot of money being involved. But as far as, you know, having a social conscience, you know, that's Jim Brown all day.
How big of a star would he be if he were playing around and like in this day and age? How big of a star do you think he could possibly be?
I don't know, considering
what he did.
He might not be. He might be too outspoken.
They blackballed him for the stuff that come out of his mouth. He like sheep times 10.
But yo,
I know he could have played longer. Hey, y'all know he could have played longer, but he decided to make movies instead.
He retired in his prime.
There was no money in it.
Yo, to go make action flicks. Yo, shout out to Jim Brown. Anyway, those are the birthdays, Dev. Tell everybody what happened when they were on the grind.
All right, I'm going to let everybody know what happened today and this week while y'all were on the grind. All right. fellas, you know, Mike Vick canceled today's appearance on the Oprah Winfrey Show, so, you know, we could just do this real quick, but anybody want to speculate why you think he did that, Jim?
Probably got the questions that she was going to ask. he got a hold of the questions she was going to ask and was like, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah.
His publicist ain't preparing with some English language prep.
Stupid. Yeah, I heard all kinds of rumors, though. I heard, you know, a lot of people was calling up Oprah Show, a lot of dog lovers. I heard the Eagles put the pressure on him not to do it because of the bad publicity it could possibly get him. And then I heard it was his camp, so who knows? Who knows? Bayon, you want to speculate or are you good?
Yeah, you know how the Oprah Show is. Like, I don't know. Yeah, you might have had some people saying, I mean, I don't think she'll have people saying, like, hey, Mike Vick, you should die like Tucker Carlson. But, you know, they might put him on the hot seat where he might start sweating and he might, hey, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, well, y'all know in the league's latest bid to atone for that Super Bowl ticket snafu, Commissioner Roger Goodell has now offered the 400 fans $5,000 or the total of their verified expenses for Super Bowl 45 or whichever is greater. So what do you guys think of that? Would you take that one?
Damn!
Yo, Dumbledore trying to take care of these cats.
I've heard couples say that their expenses were around $9,000, $10,000, though. But if you can't verify it, you're not getting that. If you can't verify it, you'll get $5,000.
Yo, Dumbledore trying to take care of this real quick. He ain't trying to drag out. He ain't playing no games. But
yo,
I think it's fair.
Yo, Jimmy, tell him who Dumbledore is, yo. Break it down.
That's my old head off Harry Potter, yo. And that's how Roger Goodell runs his league, yo. He don't play no games like Dumbledore. But yo, I think that it's a good look, though. He's trying to, you know, take care of him. And you should be able to, like, show documentation of what your expenses were if you really had them.
I mean, and he was trying to take care of him even before the class action suit popped up. But, you know, they weren't trying to hear it, and the lawyers just wanted to go ahead with that. But the pot is getting sweeter and sweeter every day, so they need to.
They may want to hold out a couple more weeks. they may get a franchise or something. We're gonna get y'all the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Speaking of litigation, federal judge in a perjury case against Barry Bonds has decided to allow an audio recording that prosecutors say Bonds' personal trainer was openly discussing Barry Bonds' steroid use on this call. Fellas, kill. Is Bonds in trouble, man?
Man, I think Bonds is going to do some time. Since Marion Jones does some time, I think Bonds and Clemens will do some time.
Yeah.
Get him.
Yeah, I pretty much think Barry's in trouble, man.
Yo, man,
my whole thing is, why are they trying to get Barry so bad? What is the? It's like a witch hunt.
Well, at this point, it's no longer actually about the steroids. It's about lying in front of a grand jury. So, you know, what were you about to say?
Yo, it's like, but that's even like, yo, even with that, like, they're spending a lot of money, a lot of taxpayers' dollars, and a lot of things. Just like, he needs to just plead guilty to a small charge because at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to stop until they do get him. Yo, this is going to be going on 15 years now. They're still going to be trying to get the ball, man.
Exactly.
I mean, we always wonder why Congress was spending so much time on baseball drugs, but, tears with it tears. But, fellas, you know your boy is back in the news. You know, a waitress at the W Hotel in D.C. alleges that Albert Haynesworth sexually assaulted her last weekend. Now, apparently the waitress's hands were full, and Albert asked her if he could put his credit card in her blouse. She nodded yes, and then alleged when he placed it in her blouse, he caressed her breast. So, what do you say, B.O.? You don't think it was like
get
a setup? Jimmy,
biking off LeVar. Get him.
LeVar is
I don't know what to say about this dude. Like, he's always in trouble. Yo, what is up with these football players? I've seen football players worse than any other sport, yo. Like, but you know what, though? Let me not say that because he could have been out drinking with Miguel Cabrera or something, you know.
But nobody thinks this might have been a setup, though?
Yo, The dude is such, you know what? All right, let's play the just role. It could have been a setup, man, and he definitely could be the victim here, but I can't feel sorry for a dude that has set himself up in the public eye to be perceived as a complete a-hole. And yeah. It's a known fact around D.C. that he is an a-hole. He's disrespectful to service people in their jobs. He treats waitresses, hostesses, busboys, poets, and anybody in a menial job like poop.
They say usually his thing is just not paying at all. But this is, I think, one of two things happened. You know, the chick knew who it was. So she, you know, she plays the hands full roads. Can you put it in my shirt pocket? And then, you know, maybe as soon as he put it in her shirt pocket, she talking about, oh, you touched my breast. Or
Boobies.
She could have told him to put it in there, and then dude took the signal wrong and start filling the nipples up. I don't know.
She told him to put it in. He was listening.
She might have She might have strong-armed him, though. Like, you know, trying to get him to get the money. He might have been nervous and touched the joint. Might have gone like this.
Take the money out! All of it! Don't stall me, fat boy. Let's go! It
might have gone like that. So, I want to know why dude won't leave D.C. Like, he wanted out. They can't get him to go home.
I think with this whole story, it's sort of like what B. Austin said. It's like he set himself up for this. So, you know, it's hard to feel sorry for him considering, you know, he doesn't show respect to anybody. And, he just has this attitude. So even if he did get set up, it's like the boy cried wolf in a sense. Like, dog, you set yourself up for this.
Yo, that waitress is karma personified. Karma came to life and smacked his behind with a suit and some charm.
All right, well. There you go. Jimmy, speaking of Miguel Cabrera, Tiger's first baseman Miguel Cabrera was found on the side of the road in Florida with smoke coming from his engine. When the police began to question him, he reportedly grabbed a bottle of scotch and began drinking. Needless to say, he was arrested for DUI and a couple of other charges. Yo, WTF. How you gonna start drinking again after the cops are at the window?
Yeah. My man got a problem, and that's just the bottom line. Yo, he has a disease. He can't stop. Because when I heard that story, I laughed, and I was like, yo, dude got a real issue. I'm like, yo, he wait till the cops get there to pull the bottle out and then try to share it with him.
Yo, even when you're pissy drunk, you know not to drink while the cops are pulling you over. Like,
he offered him a cup of scotch. Like, yo, you want some scotch? Like, yo.
And he played the Do You Know Who I Am card, too.
Yeah, he hit him with the Malik Eldebarge right, John, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, ball's crazy. So, that's what happened to everybody.
As the war room's only semi-lush, I'm really curious as to how that went down, because just like y'all said, I know every single solitary thing I'm doing, no matter how wasted I am. So I give people no excuse. Whatever you wanted to do, you just did it.
Well, that's what happened while y'all were on the ground. Jimmy, you want to pass that rizot?
Yeah. It's time to pass the rock, which is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. This is where the starting five vent on any chosen sports issue. We'll talk about our favorite headline for the week, and I'll bring the rock up. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad. I'm going to be very brief with this. What's up, War Room? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint. And this week, I just want to say a few words about the rumored Carmelo Anthony trade. Now, unless you've been under a rock, everyone knows what's going on with Carmelo. And everybody also knows that Carmelo wants to be a Knick. So a lot of people have said the Nuggets shouldn't give anything, because at the end of the day, Carmelo will come to New York. You know, that's what a lot of people believe. They say, look, don't give the Nuggets anything to Melo, because in the offseason, because he wants to be a Knick so bad, he'll come. My opinion is this. I don't agree with
Pause.
That. You can't assume Melo is going to do anything. The Knicks tanked the last couple of seasons because they assumed LeBron was going to sign there, and look what that got him. The bottom line is this, New York. You have a chance to get a top-five player in the league and the best offensive weapon in the world, and you're worrying about giving up your player. It's not like we're talking about the 83 Sixers, the 86 Celtics, the 87 Lakers. We're talking about guys named Landry Fields, Raymond Felton, and Gallinari. Who gives a Marshall fuck if you let those cats go to get Melo? Listen, with those cats you have on your team who you're scared to get rid of, you're barely over 500 in the East anyway. So the bottom line is this. New York, get this trade done. Don't let nobody else jump in and take Melo off for you, or don't let him sign any extension. Just don't assume that he's coming to you, because not getting this trade done is equivalent to standing around skinheads bragging about the amount of Caucasian ill nana you have smashed over the years. Shout out to my homie OJ. I'm nice. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man Dub.
Yo, that's crazy. That Melo trade fiasco is getting out of hand, so about one more week and we won't have to hear about it anymore. But my beef this week is with the shenanigans of the aforementioned Tigers first baseman Miguel Cabrera, and I'll be brief. Look, homie, I don't know your problem, and I'm not here to judge, but what I do know is that in this world of second chances, if you escape this one unscathed, you'll be working on chance number three. In October 2009, you went on a drinking binge that led to an early morning altercation where you hit your wife. You then credited counseling for helping you fix your life and said you were done drinking alcohol, and later expressed your desire to become a better husband and father. As we all know, yesterday you were at it again, after 3 months of rehab prior to last season, no less. But the capper in this debacle is that while being pulled over, while already drunk, you had the audacity to pull out some more booze and continue drinking while the damn cop was questioning you. Where they do that at? I'm in need for you to start acting like you play a game for a living that you've had a ball playing your entire life for free. I'm also going to need for you to realize that you're earning $20 million plus per year to play your beloved game. So stop acting like a Richard head, put down the damn sauce, and get your doo-doo together. That's all I got to say. And with that, I throw my man Dr. Bayon this hard-ass chest pass.
Man, that's crazy, man. Homie just needs to chill out. All right, now, good evening, War Room family. Tonight I would like to issue another public apology to Minnesota Timberwolves starting power forward, who will be making his first All-Star Game appearance this weekend. And his name is Kevin Wesley Love. And I had no idea, through my evaluation of his talent, that he would be averaging 22 points, 16 rebounds, and 3 assists, while shooting 47% from the field and 45% from the 3-point line in only his third season. Now, after having a chance to look at my erroneous mistake and blunder in the case of evaluating Kevin Love as an NBA prospect, I got caught up in what he couldn't do from an athletic position, having to play power forward in the NBA, and I did not consider his background and work ethic. After doing some research, I found out that Kevin Love's father, Stan Love, played in the NBA, and he would give Kevin tapes to watch of the Lakers and Celtics from back in the day, and he would study tapes of all-time great passing centers in Wes Unseld and Bill Walton, along with instructional tapes from Hall of Famers such as Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Charles Barkley, and Michael Jordan, who had a birthday today. Now, his dad, for hand and wrist strength, Stan would push Love to do fingertip push-ups as well as other upper body exercises growing up. And his dad gave him the middle name Wesley because of Wes Unseld's friendship with his dad while they were playing in the NBA. Now, they say that 90% of the game is mental, and Kevin Love has proven that with maximizing his basketball IQ, his off-the-court work ethic, and on-the-court toughness, he can be an all-star NBA power forward. And many, such as myself, thought that he will only be no better than Nick Collison, Allen Henderson, Stromile Swift, Brian Cardinal, Ben Coleman, Tim McCormick, Cliff Levingston, Stacey King, Joel Anthony, Josh McRoberts, Lorenzo Williams, Chuck Hayes, Sheldon Williams, Slava Medvedenko, Jeff Rulin, Chris Humphreys, Luke Herangode, Johan Petro, Jeff Foster, Tyler Hansborough, Anderson Barajal, Larry Sanders, Design Job, Ryan Anderson, and you get the picture. And with that, I will throw a fundamental textbook, two-handed chest pass with backspin to Brad Austin.
Wow. I want to take the time to buttress brother Akil Bayon's point. Listen, it's debatable as to whether white men can jump, but don't get it twisted. They can ball. And Kevin Love and Kevin McHale and a lot of other guys have proven that. His work ethic is phenomenal. His understanding of the game is phenomenal. And just today, or actually last night, he recorded his 42nd double-double, which puts him on pace to be able to catch the great Moses Malone, in 8 games. This dude is a monster. With that being said, shout out to him. Next, I don't have much to say today on my PTR. Albert Pujols turned down $30 million a season because of the length of the contract. That's crazy. I do think he deserves it just based on A-Rod getting like 25. Vic was franchised at $20 million a season if the CBA stands up. And the great Peyton Manning was franchised at 23. That's it. A lot of money. With that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, 50 grand, PJ. Go ahead and do something with that.
What it do, good brother? Thanks for that pass. Yeah, a lot of franchise tags got slapped on some brothers. I don't know if they like that or not, but we'll see if they're upheld with the new CBA. All right, y'all, real quick, I'm going to end off this PTR just asking, why haven't the Phillies made a deal with Charlie Manuel yet? Charlie Manuel is a patient man. That makes one of us. For the last few months, there have been quite a few stories by quite a few media outlets about Manuel's contract situation. His deal expires at the end of the season. Almost all of the reports explain that Manuel wants to be back, and the Phillies want him back, and both sides are working on an extension, which is great, except for one thing. It's taking an exotic amount of time. What's the holdup? Ruben Amaro Jr. has repeatedly said that he expects to re-sign as manager, and more than once, Manuel has said that getting a new deal is only a matter of time. That's the operative word, though, time. Time is the issue and always has been. Since hiring Manuel, the Phillies have reached the playoffs 4 times in 6 seasons. They've won 4 NL East titles. They've reached 3 straight NL Championship Series, 2 consecutive World Series, and here's the important part. They ended the city's misery and frustration by delivering the town's first championship in 25 years. Now, I'll admit, Uncle Charlie's made his fair share of boneheaded in-game decisions, but that's because a lot of his decisions are made from his gut and his heart instead of his head. But in the grand scheme of things, he's proved to be a winner. So, Ruben, stop playing. Make that deal with my uncle. I already talked to Charlie, and he's not asking for no money. He just wants some security. He told me.
He said, hey, you know, I like it here, Philly. I like the cheesesteaks and the pretzels. You know, I like Chase Utley and Ron Howard. And last time, Ron Howard took me out to the shaky butts, and he got these big old elephant butts and shaking them in my face. I said, you know, like, I'll beat it up. I'll beat it up now. Don't put the butt in my face now.
So I had to stop him. I had to stop him because he started going on some other tangent. But the point is, let my brother, my uncle, bow out gracefully, get the deal done, give him another 3 years. And with that, I'm going to do a cupped, short arm, T-Rex, double pump, sweating, breath stinking, hair peasy, Dominique Wilkins part on an angle in the front with a jerry curl block with some tight shorts and big soled Nikes, and do a karate kangaroo dunk on like 6 balls. They brought somebody on the bench. I banged on him too. I broke the backboard.
And the crowd went wild. Yeah, what's wrong with y'all, man? All right, everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. We do have them. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com.
You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show and special showtimes. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show anytime on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows, one of us might just get to you. So, fellas, anything going on in the chat room?
Not really. Just some conversation about, Melo being a top five player or not. And Naran said that he thinks he's about number six in the league. So, you know, I mean, I won't argue with his list because, like I said, you still, at number six, that you got, in my opinion, you have to make that deal if you can get a player that great. You know, so that's what we're talking about.
All right, well, we can get into some
info. In terms of Mike Vick canceling, Ed says, I'm not crazy about Vick, but I suspect he may have been walking into an ambush. And Garland says, I'm glad he didn't do the show. Nothing positive to come out of it for him. Her core audience hates Vick. This whole thing was for Queen Oprah's benefit, more publicity and ratings. Mike needs to concentrate on football, mentoring kids, and staying away from Scooby, Scrappy, and Lassie.
That's probably true, though, because Oprah, she prides herself on asking the tough questions. So she would have put himself back into that, you know, that realm of talking about what he did, what he's trying to move on from. And I really don't think it would have been good for him. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who were anxiously awaiting it and they disagree, but go kick rocks.
He's the most verbally affluent brother. So he might have got tripped up by Oprah, said some wrong stuff.
Go ahead, Bam.
I was saying also on Facebook, shout out to first-time listener Emmanuel, who's in some conversations over here.
Shout out to Emmanuel. All right, the O.J. Simpson thing, Jimmy mentioned it in his PTR. I mean, supposedly O.J. caught a bloody beatdown. They supposedly beat him until he was unconscious because some skinhead heard him bragging about his exploits and conquests with white women. But the prison is actually denying it. And there was a story from the National Enquirer, so who knows if it's true or not. What do y'all think about that one?
He got to protect his neck, man. He got to protect his neck, man. He can't be out there bragging on that. He got to protect
brother,
his neck.
First
watch
off,
your back.
Brother Mac, is this a setup question?
Nah, we just talking about it. I mean, with me, my experience with the National Enquirer, I've been reading the covers of that in the line at the grocery store since I was a little kid. And, you know, with the National Enquirer, like I said earlier in the week, either somebody's an alien, they slept with an alien, or pregnant by an alien. So you never know, you know, what's true and what's not with the National Enquirer.
Come on, man. So what you're saying is aliens don't exist. They could be telling the truth about that, too, though, brother.
Well, there's three things that we know that O.J. enjoys to partake in, and that is women of the fair hue and complexion, pork of any form, and alcoholic beverage. So it's not hard to believe that he was bragging or discussing in prison about pork, Caucasian women and his exploits with them, and money.
Well, I won't believe it until TMZ reports it. Most trusted.
Well, that's source. That's a legitimate source.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, though, like you know, the prison they were supposed to deny it. I mean, until we hear from OJ, what you want? I'm gonna run with it because it's comical, yo. What's wrong with my man sitting around talking about that white girl Nana he got, man? Like, yo. Let it go.
They said that the skinhead gave him $1.50 across the cheek, and then they dropped
OJ,
him, and they started stomping him.
Dang. OJ need to go see that obesity to get some protection or something, man.
Yo,
they
I heard
old chicken 30.
They described the dude as a muscular young skinhead.
He's
a muscular young skinhead. OJ, man, like TJ said, man, protect your neck. But speaking of violence and football, Brandon Banks, the little dude, the kick and punt returner from the Washington Redskins, he got stabbed outside of a D.C. nightclub last weekend. Supposedly, his homie was arguing with some guy outside the club. Brandon, when they started fighting, Brandon Banks and a bouncer tried to break it up. Dude pulled out a fold-up knife and started stabbing and slashing. He stabbed his homie in the face and then in the abdomen like several times, and Brandon Banks stabbed in the abdomen. Now, they originally said that he was cool. He just went in for, just to get checked on and he was to leave. But now they're saying they put a tube in his chest so his lung won't collapse.
It sound like they got in an argument with Daddy Cool or something, yo. Who got a nice game like that? He giving out, yo, slashes like
only
that.
Only Daddy
yo.
Cool.
He got an argument with Daddy Cool. My thing is, like, dog, the Super Bowl was, like, 2 weeks ago. They don't waste no time getting into trouble, these NFL players, yo. I'm telling you. The NFL, yo, is worse than every other sport. These dudes be tripping.
It's crazy.
Hard work.
What do we want them to
hard
do?
Work.
Yeah,
we can't like tell them to sit in the house and not do anything. They, they make money. They want to spend it. So maybe they need to find somewhere other than clubs because they have a park.
I'm gonna be positive and say, get well soon and stay away from the go-go's, man.
Yeah. He better take a page out of the book.
These young
cats. He better take a page out of the book.
Why do they think that is cool to just shoot and stab cats, man? Like, why do they think that's just okay?
It's crazy because there's no regard for human life no more. But I know these players better take a page out of the Curtis Jackson book of club dwelling and get like some armored car security and some big diesel security guards to walk around with them. They better get their Curtis Jackson on.
Brandon Banks ain't making that kind of bread though.
Curtis Jackson is the highest paid police officer in the world.
He's an actual
police officer.
Well, I mean, at least just get one dude, maybe not a whole armored car, but like get something tinted up low key and just get one big security guard.
Hey, PJ, the dude that got poked up might have been that dude.
No, that's crazy.
How about that?
He need to have
like
some
popcorn. Like Jimmy said, dude, he just barely made the team.
He's making like $32K a year, yo.
Yeah.
After he paid taxes, he broke.
He practice squad, dude.
How about not going to the club though? Like my thing is like, I mean, I don't want to tell you not to go to a club. If you want to party, you can party, but it's like nothing good happens.
So,
you know,
you
never hear about it. You never hear about an athlete getting shot in the library. Or that place I'm going tonight. That's why I'm going. Anyway, but yeah, man, these dudes, man, like they be tripping, man. Like, what do you see how much stuff happens now? The season is over.
At the library.
Anyway, go ahead, Dan.
All right. Yeah. So speaking of Brandon Banks and his salary, NFL labor talks are going nowhere. So. He might want to stay in the house or he's going to be broke because it don't look like it's going to be a season at this point. Anybody think otherwise?
No, I think it's sad. It's very sad.
To play on the side of devil's advocate and be a little, I guess, would I be devil's advocate if I'm being positive? I don't know. Anyway, I will say this. Deals like this get done in the 11th hour. They always get done in the 11th hour. So I can't say whether it will or won't be, but history tells us that, at this point, everybody's going to posture for the benefit of improving their position in negotiation. So nobody's going to come to the table and say, well, we're near to accepting. They're going to look at the money. They're going to look at the revenues that they're about to lose, and they're going to make a decision based on, is it really cool to miss out on all of this money for an extended or protracted period of time? Or do we do a deal maybe that's not getting everything we wanted at the table, but it gives us cash flow and revenue?
It doesn't even seem close at this point.
Like, they've canceled meetings. One meeting, the owners heard their proposal. They got up and walked out. So, you know, we know they're not going to always keep us abreast of everything that's going on. But
you're
don't even seem close to
you. You're absolutely right. Let me toss some numbers out there to you, because I actually have spent some time researching this. Up until I believe April 1st, if the deal isn't done, they stand to lose somewhere around $15 million a day. If they go into camp, which is July 1st, it jumps to something like $80 million a day. If it hits September 1st, season opening, and they don't have a deal done, they're going to miss $400 million per week.
Yeah, but out of all the money being missed, it's going to hit the players the hardest.
Of course. Of course.
The billionaires are just going to focus their attention on their other businesses. Like TJ said last week, the businesses that made them rich enough to buy an NFL team. So they're going to be cool.
A season without football translates to $12 billion in revenue lost. And you're right, the players do suffer the most, but do they have an understanding of what that means as much as the owners do? I mean, it depends on perspective.
Yeah.
Yo, did y'all hear about the Carolina Panthers owner that went crazy in the labor talks? He said, you know, after 3 years in the league, some of you guys should save enough bleeping money to buy your own bleeping team. And Peyton Manning and Drew Brees was ready to, like, you know, they didn't do anything until they were getting mad at him. And dude used to be a former player, but he made his riches through opening up Hardee's. He started Hardee's. That's how he became rich.
Yeah, I heard about
that. They had that many Hardee's.
I know, right? He probably is.
I think it's very unfortunate in terms of what's going on, because, I mean, in terms of popularity, it's at an all-time high. And you know how this can actually, I mean, do a lot of damage. I mean, it's just sad. It's just sad because this can definitely do a lot of damage to the brand, to the sport. And, you know, also us, we love football. Football is it's our thing in terms of America. We love football, and this is crazy. This is crazy, but, you know, it is what it is.
Told y'all, I hope y'all got your games on TV.
That's a great point that Akil made, and I want to touch on something. See, that's one of those type of situations, Paul, that's one of those situations that perpetuates a myth that these players are really in a high level financial situation. There's only 5% of the league that are really what you would consider wealthy and affluent. The rest of these players are really going to suffer. Like you said, Dev, if the league shuts down, who suffers the most? It's the players. They don't really make the type of money that I think the rest of society perceives them to make. And when owners say things like that, then they get society and the uninformed on their side.
Yeah. I can't take the owner's side on this one, because the players are really just looking for status quo. They're not asking for more money.
Right. More than what they already getting. Right.
Yeah, the owners just want to pay them less. Now, you know, whether or not they're right in that, that's not really my concern, but you can't really, you know, the league's been doing this for years. You can't really get on the side that's asking, let's just keep things like it is, you know, like they are. So I'm going to have to take the player side on this one. Anybody else got anything on this before we move on?
Nah, y'all covered my points pretty much.
Man, it could get real ugly. It could be no football and no basketball.
Yeah. Come on, man, stop that, man. Yo, move on to the next topic. I'm about to get turned into a sad show, man.
I'm about to start drinking scotch over here, man.
Then we gotta talk about rugby, soccer, tennis, and cricket.
And cricket.
Not.
And
hockey, if we do that, then hockey. All of our shows are just gonna be on historical stuff.
Yo, go ahead, move on, man. I don't want to think about life without hoops, man. Stop.
Do a show on the best NBA season of all time. But yo, did y'all hear Sugar Shane Mosley's comment about his fight with Manny Pacquiao? He basically said, quote, "I don't know what to make of Floyd not fighting this fight. It's mind-boggling to me. It's like I said on Twitter, it feels like I'm doing Floyd's dirty work." Yo, why is he even talking? Just fight and get your money.
Yeah.
Why are you talking? Really?
Yeah. Yo, maybe I'm dumb.
He's a princess
boy. I don't even understand what that means.
I think what he's saying, I think he's, I don't, honestly, I don't know either because it is kind of cryptic, but I'm assuming that he's saying because everybody wanted to see the fight, the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, and now he's coming in to fight Pacquiao. It's like, it's not as much build-up and hype around the fight. So I guess he's trying to make himself, I don't know.
Is he bitching about making money? He about to get the money.
Yeah, he about to get the money.
I don't even understand why he's opening his mouth about it.
I know that this puts me in an interesting situation from an opinion standpoint because I think that Floyd is a coward and, you know, the other dude, Sugar Tank, lives an alternative lifestyle, which I don't support. So what am I supposed to say about all this?
I mean, yo, hold on, though. Didn't Floyd already beat Sugar Tank?
Yeah, he beat him up.
So shut your damn mouth then.
Hey, but my point is, shut up and get the money. Why are you worried about who's not fighting him? Okay, I'll do Floyd's dirty work for $10-15 million. I don't know how much he's getting paid, but they call me to take the fight. I think.
Like you just said, it don't matter. Floyd, Sugar Tank need to be happy if he's getting a half a mil because he ain't getting no money like that.
Sugar Tank needs to stop sending subliminal shots to the man that lumped him up.
I just want to let y'all know if any of y'all brothers got some light work y'all need me to take for 8 figures, I'm good. Just call me.
Hey, yo, shout out. Since we're on the topic, shout out to Vernon Forrester and his family. Rest in peace, homie.
R.I.P.
I'm going at Sugar Tank.
Shane is 39 years old, cuz. That's the thing about Shane. After the performance that he displayed against Floyd Money Mayweather, he shouldn't have the audacity to say anything. And my thing is, with Pacquiao, the styles make the fights and all, and I can dig it, but I think a 10-year ago, Shane might make a better fight than this one, cuz I just don't think that Shane has the petroleum or gas tank to get it done.
As much as I hate Floyd, I gotta admit, Floyd didn't have to take a shower after he rumbled Shane.
He might have had to clean his drawers after the second round. That's what Shane
PJ said, look, this dude has weak cardio, and he's fighting a Pacquiao who's a drug addict and is going to have cardio all day long. So, I mean...
with energy,
you know,
all day. Every time he throw punches, he go, If somebody do that when I'm fighting him, I'm going to try to trip that joker. I don't want to give him a spare one.
That's because he on that Balco. So, if he can be on that Balco and fight all night long...
Man, come on. Stop for the publicity, man. Pac-Man on as much drugs as A.C. Green is.
Yo, Pac-Man is a drug addict. If you watch him when he first started fighting, his performance, and as he got older, he gets more energy and faster. FOH.
He's going from 102 to 154. So 50. He went on a 50% increase in body weight to fight.
So I guess Steve Nash is on drugs too.
Steve Nash is overrated.
Hydro.
Steve Nash is overrated.
I agree with you, but overrated doesn't make what he's doing not great.
I don't think it's great. That's your opinion.
18 a game and 11 assists isn't great?
No.
All right, we'll get back.
Raymond Felton is putting up 18 and 10. Is he great?
Of course not.
Raymond Felton ain't as old as Steve Nash. That's corny. Come on.
Steve Nash, he's talking about pure numbers.
Now it's great because he's an old ass man and he's putting up 18 and 10. He's overrated. He's overrated.
That was the context of the argument.
He's a product of the system he plays in. He's overrated. He doesn't play defense. I'm not going to do the bum.
Jimmy, listen. Nobody disagreed with you, dog. Nobody said he wasn't.
I'm talking to Brad.
You're getting hyped for no reason. He said that already. Hey, yo, man, move on. I don't even know why we're talking about
Steve Nash. What do you got to do with anything?
Y'all bought him up. All right, so let's go to this pool host contract thing real quick because one of y'all mentioned that. What do you think? I personally think I'm not giving anybody, I'm not paying somebody $30 million a year and when they're in their late 30s, early 40s. So if I was the Cardinals, I'd tell them FOH for that 10-year
FOH.
I give them 30 million.
Now, let me ask
but
you.
I give them 30 million for like 5 years, maybe.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I was about to ask you. I was about to say, would you give him like 30 million over? And also, you got to consider the fact that he's 31 now. So he'll be 41 in the last year of the contract.
Man,
so, like
I'm
you
not,
said, I would give him like 30 over like 5 or 28 over like 6, maybe. But I'm not giving him 10 years at 30.
Here's the problem.
Brad, he's 31 years of old.
I totally agree with that. Here's the problem.
He's going to be in his midlife crisis.
We can look at it from several perspectives. I definitely agree. You can't give Pujols $30 million on the radio. I feel you, Harold. I agree. You can't give him $30 million for 10 years. But, yo, Alex Rodriguez messed the market up. So now
that don't mean they got to give him 10 years. It don't matter. They can pay him more per year than they're giving Alex Rodriguez if they want to do that.
Right.
They want to make a statement. But for 10 years.
So what you're saying is because the Yankees overpaid, you have to overpay too.
We got to overpay.
No, I'm not saying.
Rangers. It was the Rangers' fault.
The Rangers gave him that.
The Rangers tried to outbid the Yankees so much that they gave them that initial 10-year 250. And then, so when it was time for him to re-up, I mean, you only go up when you're a marquee player. So the Rangers.
Yo, do you
up.
Guys
do
that? When A-Rod is done, he would have made a half a billy.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
For swinging a bat, no meat.
Let me ask you this, Jimmy. Is Pujols, from what you know, is Pujols better than Alex, comparable, or is Alex a better player?
Albert Pujols' numbers are on par with Babe Ruth. Like, yo, he's the only player to hit 330 and average 30 home runs for a career other than Babe Ruth. Like, that's how good this guy is. But with that being said, is he on a decline? I mean, like they said, he's getting older. His numbers are dropping a little bit, but, you know, his numbers are dropping when the competition is actually worse in his division. So they should be going up,
so
but he's getting older.
So, Dev, your solution to this is, say, give him a shorter term and more money during that term, $35 million for 5 years or something like that.
No, I never said that. I still think 30 million is pushing it per year. Okay, A-Rod was the best player in baseball for a long time, and he got 25, and we all oohed and aahed about how much that was. Something like PJ said, $28 million a year for like 5 years if you just want to make a statement and say he's better than A-Rod, so we have to give him more. But, you know, $30 million is a lot. Even if they break for that, like I said, it can't be for 10 years. That's just crazy.
I can't imagine
it for 10 years. Hey, A-Rod made 33 last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yo, it's getting...
Yo, if I was the Cardinals, I would say this. If I was the Cardinals.
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says, your services are no longer needed in the community.
And I actually think that deadline he imposed on him yesterday, I think that was kind of stupid on his part. He says he doesn't want to negotiate during the season, but, dog, all you got to do is play. Your agent does that. So what if you start?
He know damn well they come to him like, yo, we got the money you want. He gonna say no, I ain't signing it because it's out of principle.
You know what's funny?
What if you start stinking it up? What if you start stinking it up?
I will say this. Who else? Now let's talk about the market. If he's looking for $30 million a season for 10 years from the Cardinals, what other suitors are out there to give him a comparable number?
Chicago Cubs.
The Sox. But the Yankees don't even need a first baseman.
And neither do the Red Sox. I think that the most likely destination would be the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, they're looking to make a splash. So, and an arrival of the Cardinals. So I think the Chicago Cubs. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't give them the bread. You could take and get three players for that kind of dough and get some pitching. Pitching wins championships any damn way.
Yeah, and I keep hearing Phillies fans talking about, well, they could trade Ryan Howard for him straight up, but I don't want the Phillies to pay the dude $30 million either.
I would then my whole conversation would look a little different. I'd be upset.
Yeah. All right, but we went a little overtime on the pool hole, so we'll just mention. Y'all heard about DeMarcus Cousins getting fined, right? He
actually got into a pushing
and shoving match with Dante Green because Dante Green didn't pass him the ball on the last play of the game. Like Tariq Evans hasn't earned that. I mean, I know Cousins have been playing better, but come on, Cousins.
Y'all can all tell the young boy from me, we can step outside because you use a Richard head.
He's very competitive, and owners have said that he's the most competitive player they've seen. But my only problem is this. My problem is he has a reputation of being like a mental midget. So he's like leading up, you know, he's just adding to it.
Yeah, so he's already out there as being like that.
He's a sensitive dog.
So even if, like Jimmy said, if he was just doing this out of being competitive, nobody's going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. And of course, we all know that the Cavs ended their streak on the Clippers, and then the Wizards ended their streak on the Cavs, and then the Cavs beat the Lakers last night. Everybody's all up in arms. They were just praising the Lakers for beating the Celtics. And now they're thinking the Lakers need to blow the team up because they lost to the Cavs. But it's professional sports. Things happen.
Yo, real quick, Dev, real quick. When the Bulls won 72-10, the Raptors had the worst or the second worst record in the league. And
that
the Bulls
their first
lost
year
to the Raptors.
Expansion team.
Hey, yo, Brad, I was about to say that.
And they lost to the Raptors by 30. And they had the greatest athlete of all time ever in the universe on their squad. So what are y'all talking about? The Lakers
but
are cool.
Listen, Brad, this is the difference, though. As many people didn't hate the Bulls as, you know, people that hate the Lakers right now. So they're gonna get more scrutiny. But,
man.
Jimmy.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy is an evil thing.
We're going to play a round of HOF or FOH real quick so Jim can take us into that.
Yes,
sir.
All right. HOF or FOH, basically, we're going to talk about a player. We want you guys to weigh on us if you want to. And we'll go around the table and determine whether this player is a Hall of Famer or FOH. And you can figure out what that means. Funds on hold. Anyway.
Funk out of here.
So I thought of a player that, you know, I kind of think I know what you guys are going to say, but I've heard this argument several times. So I want to hear what you guys have to say about this argument. And that is, one, Robert Bob Horry.
Man.
To the Hall of Fame. Here's what I'm saying. I've heard people make an argument. Listen, I've heard people make an argument. I've even heard people who vote for the Hall of Fame make an argument for him now. I've been doing some reading based for this segment. I'm going to read to you what some of the actual voters have said. And what they say is that the Basketball Hall of Fame is not about great players, which is the misconception. It's about contributions to the game. And Robert Horry made a huge contribution. He's been a seven-time champion, and none of those teams he was on would have won a championship without him. So he does have a contribution to the game. I'm just telling you. These are actual writers.
I wish somebody was on here to say that. That's not true. I think the Lakers, the only one that they wouldn't have won without him was when he hit the shot against Sacramento in the Western Conference Finals. Because they would have lost that series had he not hit that shot.
Anthony Peeler could have done that.
He hit a big shot against the Sixers. they beat the Sixers 4-1.
I can't give him this, though. Here's what I will say for him. On those Rocket teams, he was a major contributor. He was a major contributor on those Rocket teams in that playoff run. And people forget, when he was a young player, Robert Horry played some defense. Huh? What'd you say?
I was going to say, those were his best years when he was a Houston Rocket.
Yeah,
when he was a Houston Rocket, he played some lockdown D and hit some threes. So I guess Dev, I already know you saying FOH, no way possible.
Listen, this is what I always said, though. I don't want to just completely, you know, disregard his contributions, but this is what I've always said to people who made that argument.
Man, fuck him.
I think there should be a room in the Hall of Fame where, you know, they take you through and they show you people who hit big shots in big moments. But I don't think Robert Horry should have a bust of himself in the Hall of Fame. So yeah, he can get a mention.
Let me ask you guys a question. When I was doing research for this, and I saw the statement more than one time, I want to know how you feel about this, about the fact that they said the Hall of Fame is for contribution and not for great players. Is that what you think of when you think of the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely not.
I think I think contribution, when we're talking about people who weren't players, like last week we spoke about Ed Sable, those kind of contributions. But if you're a player who makes it into the Hall of Fame, you got to be great. That's my opinion.
Okay. PJ, what's your thoughts on everything?
I mean, I'm not a stat guy, but I mean,
but that's
talking about a guy 7.4 points per game.
7 points a game and like 4 rebounds a game, a career 42% field goal percentage. And again, I know these are stats. But my deal is this. I understand what you're saying. I understand your argument. He has made a big imprint on, I'm use the term big loosely, but imprint on the team. Like, he was an integral part. But that's like saying, could you say somebody like, I'm trying to think of somebody that played on this board.
Well, here's the thing.
Like,
I'm not saying that. The reason I brought his name up is because we have these arguments all the time. Nairan in the chat room said that he only averaged double digits like 3 times in his career. And the thing about it is, like, I'm not saying personally I believe that he should be in, but I've heard the argument several times. And when I was looking for a player for this segment, his name kept coming up. And I was reading these actual sports writers who would say, he has my vote. He has my vote. Now, of course, he hasn't gotten in yet. But I was shocked to see how many people supported the movement of him being a Hall of Famer. Because these are like, well,
how many rings does he have? Rings does he have? 5?
7.
Yeah,
but they all coattail rings. Come on, man.
So, he got,
And then, with the Lakers, they talking about they wouldn't, I can't count that as them not being able to win rings without Robert Ory. He didn't even play in the regular season. I understand, the playoffs is the thing, but, okay, you do have to win games in the regular season to get to the playoffs to win the championship. He didn't even help the team in his later years. He wasn't even on the
hold on. I want to hear what Dr. Bay,
let me hear what Dr. Bay got to say, because everybody else has spoke. With Dr. Bay, what you got to say about this?
When it comes to career, each year in the league, it's similar players. Robert Ory's career equals that of Donyell Marshall, Rick Fox, Rick Mahorn, Michael Cooper, LaSalle Thompson, Michael Cage, Rodney Rogers, Craig Elo, Derek Fisher, Lindsey Hunter. No, he should not be in the Hall of Fame. His funds are on hold.
Okay, got you.
Dude,
so basically, that's a big FOA. But listen, though, let me do something real quick, because I figured that's what would it be. So I actually dug up 2 players, and I want to hear what your opinion is of this other player. And I also agree. I don't think he should be, but my problem is not so much with him going in.
Jimbo Slice, I ain't get a chance to weigh in, brother, so I'm going to let you go ahead, because I got a lot to say about your man.
I know you do, and we ain't got that much time. I know you want to rank him.
Yeah, we already
are. Yeah, the bottom line is this, though. I don't agree with that, but I don't agree with half the people in there anyway. And there's some people in the Hall of Fame who average less than him, believe it or not. With that being said, my next one is the Worm, Dennis Rodman. How do you feel about that? Now, this is another guy who didn't score a bunch of points per game, but what about his contribution, and do you think he should be a Hall of Famer?
Dennis Rodman was great. He was great at what he did, and he dominated.
He dominated through freakiness.
I mean, I'm pretty sure his average isn't the highest of all time, but I think he, at least from what I've seen, he's the best rebounder in the modern era. He led the league for 7 years straight. HOS. I'm putting Dennis.
Yeah, so you say Hall of Fame for Dennis.
Yeah.
You say Hall of Fame for Dennis.
Yeah, when you consider his size, you figure this dude is like 6'7"?
He was like 6'8", like 220. He was like 6'8", 220. Here's the thing about it, though. It's not for the fact that him staying on those stacked – he played on those stacked Piston teams when he first came in the league, and he didn't get a lot of clock initially. That brought down his career average. But if you look at – he averaged like 18 rebounds several times in his career. And if you look at the guys leading the league now, who's Dwight Howard, he's barely cracking 14. Well, the last several years, not this past year.
And
Kevin Love,
don't forget about him defensively. He was a very awkward, annoying,
lockdown defender.
And he would frustrate players, get him off their game,
He's the only player I've ever seen. He can guard all 5 positions.
Yeah.
I've seen him lock down point guard, down to a 5.
I put the cross dresser in the hole.
I'm glad.
Okay.
I'm glad that you
So Dev says Hall of Fame for Rodman. What you think, PJ? Hall of Fame?
He also wore
a dress, though, fam.
And a nose ring, I know. I know. But, I'm tempted to say yeah, because, like the point y'all making, he's probably the best rebounder I've ever seen. And he's one of the better on-ball defenders, like a bigger dude that I've ever, at his size, Noamiji, that I've ever seen. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to go through my, like, my
right,
role.
We're
going
to come back to you. We're
going
to come back to you.
Let's
come back to you. Dr. Bay, would you put him in? Pause.
Definitely. Definitely. First ballot. He should be in already.
Yeah. Okay. Well, B. Austin, what's your opinion?
One of the best at what he did. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he dominated at the position, and he was one of the best at what he did. And I think that's an intangible or sort of ambiguous way to look at criteria for getting you
Harold.
Into the Hall.
Now, here's my thing. I think also it would be a great thing to show the kids that you don't have to, like, you know, shoot a million times a game, and you can play fundamental basketball and grab rebounds and become a Hall of Famer. You know, because this dude did all the dirty work. On a lot of championship teams, he did all the dirty work.
You changed the face
really,
of the game without
he
scoring.
He really did the dirty work and intangibles, not the stuff that Big Shot Bob gets credit for.
And Dennis.
He almost averaged 19 boards a game in 91-92. He almost averaged 19 boards a game. Not a game. But seriously, he played the whole all 82 games, too. Damn.
I want to address.
He used to ride the bike after games. After games, he used to jump on the stationary bike.
Yeah,
I remember that.
He was a freak,
I remember
man.
That.
Yo, Jerry,
you
said you had another player, Jimbo Slice.
No, that's the second player.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep going.
I'm in with Robin.
I got players for days. I just want to hear what you guys say. So far for Rodman, Dev, you say yeah?
HOF.
Okay, so Dev says Hall of Fame. Dr. Beyonce says Hall of Fame. Brad says Hall of Fame. I agree, Hall of Fame as well. So, PJ, what you got to say?
Yeah, I'm going to go with it.
Okay. Y'all say that's unanimous. So we got unanimous no for Bob and a unanimous yes for the worm. And by the way, I ran up a point in the chat room. He said he averaged 19 rebounds a game, and he played on the same team with David Robinson, and he still averaged 19.
Exactly.
And called David Robinson out. And called David Robinson out for it, too.
Anyway,
y'all, that's all I got for HOF, FOH. You know, right, I just want to see what you guys thought about that.
I don't know how to get it.
I think it's sad. Yeah. I think it's sad that
Harold?
We have to even bring this up.
Fag ass.
Yeah.
What? Hey, what up?
Tell them how to get in touch with us, PJ.
In the Hall of Fame.
Put it like this though. Be Austin. With that being said, if he did get in, it wouldn't shock me based upon some of the things I've seen and read. It wouldn't shock me. But
no,
then again, if you look at the hall, if you look at the Hall of Fame and see some of the cats in there, like yo, some of the cats that played on those early Celtic teams that averaged like 6 points a game.
Hey yo, it wouldn't shock me. It would just enrage me. But go ahead, PJ, tell everybody how to get in touch with us, brother.
All right, y'all. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. You can become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so that you can listen to our show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is basically like raising your hand, and you never know. One of the War Room professors just might call you. Satisfaction on guarantee. Say no. Anything going on in the chat room, fellas?
Nah, they just talking about the Hall of Fame stuff. They're talking about, you know, Rodman averaging 19 boards on the team with David Robinson. We're going to get into this NBA All-Star Weekend stuff in L.A.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I'm going to let everybody know who were the NBA Players of the Week. And, again, Dwight Howard won for the Eastern Conference. And LaMarcus Aldridge stepping his game up every week, led for the Western Conference. So, all right, Orlando went 3-1 for the week. Howard, he posted points and rebound double-doubles in all four contests. He actually has 14 consecutive double-doubles, which is nothing compared to Kevin Love's 42 straight. He averaged 16.8 rebounds during the week and shot 67% from the field. And he had his fifth 20-point, 20-rebound effort of the season. LaMarcus, he led Portland to an undefeated week. You know, the dude scored 36 or more in all four games. He had 42 on the Bulls, which is a career high. He shot 63% from the field, 84% from the line, actually 85.
Ew.
And he's averaging 22 and 9 rebounds, joining Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin. So, yo, LaMarcus is stepping it up, man. We keep talking about dude, but he scored over 36 points a game in four games last week. Come on, son.
Damn.
Where you getting that from?
Yeah, like he playing.
Yo, all that working out must be paying off. It's funny, up at the 24-Hour Fitness in Frisco, Texas, after we would finish hooping during the day in the summer, he will, I guess, wait for the regular guys to get off the court, and then he'd be in there, like, working on his game, working on moves, shooting around, waiting for the court to clear. So he'd be lifting while we're playing, and then he would just basically say, "All right, bum." He wouldn't say it, but you know, our games were in at 3, and he'd start working out on his own.
He probably knew, like you said, he knew the dude was gonna get hurt again, so he knew he was gonna do all the heavy lifting. But like Jimmy mentioned this earlier, in his PTR, but the Knicks actually turned down a trade offer from the Nuggets. They were going to send Melo and Chauncey to New York for Gallinari, Felton, Eddie Curry's contract, a first-round pick, and a third starter that might have been Landry Fields, Wilson Chandler, or somebody else. It was one of three people. What do y'all think? I mean, we heard what you had to say, Jim. What do y'all think? Are the Nuggets asking for too much right now?
I mean, I don't know. I would have taken a deal. Sort of kind of like what Jimmy said. I mean, to get Chauncey, Diddy, P. Diddy Billups, and Melo, I'd have let them dudes go that you just mentioned. I mean, you got Chauncey for another year. You never know what's going to happen next year when CP3 and them dudes is, you know, out on the market trying to get their super team on. But, yeah,
Chauncey doesn't really
want to
go, though. Chauncey doesn't really want to go.
Oh, Chauncey doesn't want to go.
He's from the area. He's from
yeah,
where
yeah,
he was there. Like local.
He was happy to get back to Denver. So he might his contract up. He might blow the spot, and then the Knicks would be a little salty.
Leave them with nobody at
the. I mean, yeah, but that's the thing is that's if they don't get CP3, who already said that he wants to play with Melo. I mean, but at the end of the day. What bothers me is people acting like these guys they're asking for are like these all-star players. I mean, they ask for the equivalent of Tim Perry, Andrew Lang, and Jeff Hornacek.
I don't think that's the case, though, man. I do think that they're asking for too much. Cause it's not that the dudes are all-star caliber, but you're still giving up a lot of pieces to your team.
You give
like,
up a lot of people
if
on
you,
the squad.
Yeah, if
you're
you
right.
Lose,
it's a lot of numbers.
You lose three roles. And think about it. Three of these people that they're asking for are starters. Not that the Knicks have their best starting lineup in the league, but
that was exactly my point. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah, but you give up three dudes. That's an integral part of what you're doing right now. You know, you get him in. Okay, you got two stars, and then what?
Yo, that's the way the league is run by stars. You fill it in with role players, and at the end of the day, if you're building that franchise, you can fill those spots. I mean,
because the
bottom line is players like Melo. Players like Melo, you don't get the opportunity to get a player like that often. I mean, you just don't. So
yeah,
you have to make the.
I think they're still banking on the fact that he's already told everybody he wants to go there. I think the whole Lakers thing was a bluff. unless the Lakers come in with a serious offer. But it don't seem like they want to.
I agree, but you can't take that chance. So you can't. The bottom line is the team you have now, you're not going to win a title with that. If your goal is to win a title and you don't trade to get Melo, and let's say you keep these guys who are like integral parts to your team, parts of what though? You are never going to win a title with them guys you got right there. Not saying that you put Melo on your team.
Are they asking for Gallinari?
Yeah. I think take one player out of the trade, then they probably got to make the deal. And it's probably him. Leave us Gallo. Because it's not
but from what I'm hearing,
out,
they didn't
want
to part ways with Sultan.
Use a shooter. I part ways with
Sultan. From what I hear, Sultan is the piece they didn't want to get rid of.
I mean, that's on them. I'm just speaking from my perspective. I'd get rid of Felton.
Yeah. Yo, put it like this. If it was me, them dudes would have been going last week. They would have already been playing. They'd have been playing.
Yeah, I'd have been it without. I'd even giving them Chauncey, though, because I remember before they even put Chauncey on the table, weren't they asking for just three players at the time? It was like three players in Melo and a first rounder?
Yeah.
Or
my,
no?
Because my whole thing,
Chauncey was even part of this. Like, he'd have probably been going back then if it was me, but.
Here's my thing, though. Now, here's my thing. Hear me out. My thing is, if your goal is to win a championship, do you have a better chance of winning a championship with Amare, Melo, and whoever you can fit in, or with the guys you have now? Like, with the guys you have now, you're not going to get – you pretty much peaked. You're not going to win a championship.
Yeah, Jim,
so make the move.
You're talking as if they're not going to – I mean, it's not that it's – either these guys or Melo. They're just trying to get them to make a better deal. Denver is asking a lot simply because, like we've been talking about for the past few weeks, dude has already put his cards out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see what you're saying by not taking the chance, but they got to come down off at least one of those players.
No,
dude is a free agent. Dude's a free agent at the end of the year anyway.
But how many times have players said, look, players want to go somewhere,
right.
But things
he was
change.
A free agent in 7 days.
But he also said that he would sign with Denver too, though. Now I don't know how much. See, it's so much garbage going back and forth. You don't know what's real, what's brokering, like, you know what I mean, what's posturing.
But what I'm saying is, you taking a chance by saying he wants to come here anyway, so we're going to get him and keep what we have. Meanwhile, somebody like Dallas or Houston will sneak in and pay this man what he wants, or jump into this trade talk, because Houston, from what I'm hearing, is trying, like, you know, conjure up a way to get Melo on their team as well, because they want to rebuild and make him the focal point of their rebuilding. But
in my opinion, you can't. He would be pressed to go play with. I think this whole thing.
And that's the problem. But also you got guys like Mark Cuban. Dallas has a lot of pieces. And, you know, if he say he did jump in and he gets him, he could talk this dude into staying in Dallas, you know what I mean, once he sees the surrounding area and also the team they have there to win. I mean, you just never know. You just can't take that chance because he said, hey, I want to play for New York. That won't change.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect him to take the chance. Like, I'm not against them making a trade. I still just think Denver's asking for too much. They're getting a lot in return, even if they leave them one of the cats. They're still getting a lot in return.
Yo, the way I look at it differently, though. I don't think they're asking for a lot. Yo, if they ask for Amare, I'd give them Amare for Melo.
You thinking about this in a whole different way, then. Like, you like, we got to get Melo at all
costs. I think your opinion of the star power is overstated, man.
I don't think if they put Felton or not, or, you know, if they made the deal more Nick players or less Nick players, I still don't see them being better than the Heat, the Magic, the Celtics, and the Bulls. So, at best, they're going to be a fifth seed to me, with or without Melo.
But do you think that it improves their position in terms of building towards a championship? Are you better suited with Amare and Melo than you are with, you know, Amare and Fields, Felton, and whoever, Gallinari?
Do you think Diddy Billups makes a difference with D'Antoni as their coach? I don't think they would ever make it out the East.
Yeah.
With D'Antoni as their coach.
No matter who they're running with.
He said he don't even practice defense.
And he don't put a premium on rebounding.
But Austin, to your point, the stars are what run the NBA. I mean, this is a star-driven league. The NBA, unlike any other sport, is the biggest star-driven league, in my opinion. I mean, if
let
you look at
submit,
the top five.
I feel you.
If you look at the top players in the league, they're a winning team.
Let me say this. When you don't have solid role players who are good basketball players, then you have the Miami Heat. Now, I know I'm talking prematurely because we're not even past the All-Star break, but there's going to come a point in time when the Avatar and the other two Heatles are going to have to rely on their teammates to really come through for them, and they don't have quality role players. They don't have quality basketball players outside of Mike Miller, in my opinion. So now you look at a team like Boston. Yo, if you take the Big Four out of Boston, they have a quality roster. They have quality players. They don't have.
I mean, I agree. They built that team that way. But at the end of the day, the Miami is still one of the best teams in the league. Well, you can say what you want to say about them not having a role player. Only time will tell how successful they can be. But they're still one of the best teams in the league. You compare Miami last year to Miami this year.
Like you say, you're there to compete for a championship. So being one of the best teams in the East,
they're missing pieces,
role players. They're missing pieces.
But what I'm saying is, but they have a start. They can get these role players within the next several years. Like, they have a start. They may not win this year, but they have a better chance of getting role players to want to play with those guys than they did when they just had D-Wade. Miami is better off for having the Big Three or the Heatles, whatever you want to call them. They're better off for having them than they were last year without them.
But Jimmy, you basically saying it's harder to find stars than it is to find a role player. So if you have the opportunity to get the stars, you get the stars first.
And the role players will come.
The role players are easier to come. Right, I see what you're saying. So you're right. I mean, I guess it all depends on who you're actually trying to win that shit.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Jimmy. I'm just somewhere, I think, me and Jimmy would have to meet in the middle. Like, I think I just think Gallinari, Felton, a third starter, Eddie Curry's diesel contract, and a first rounder, that's too much. I don't care who it is. That's too much.
I don't think our points are really opposing, Jimmy, because I'm not discounting what you're saying, but I think you are discounting the value of having solid quality role players. Star power at any cost.
No, I'm not discounting that, but like PJ said, you have a better chance of getting that on a year-to-year basis through the draft or whatever it may be than you do to get a star, especially, you know, somebody maybe top five, six player in the league. Your chances of picking up a role player in free agency or the draft are a lot greater than picking up a guy you know that can walk in and give you 25 or 30 a game.
I'm telling
you, stars, role players may be more willing to come too, so they may be willing to take less to be part of that team as well. So,
what were you about to say?
No, I was just about to say, you know, if it was me, I just tell them, all right, I'm going to keep my shooter, Gallinari. You can have Wilson Chandler. Because in the back of my mind, I'm like, Wilson Chandler already said he might not sign back anyway because he knows Melo's coming. So I'll give you Felton, Wilson Chandler, Eddie Curry's diesel contract, and a first-round pick. That's plenty. Denver asking for more is kind of, you know, they're playing themselves because they're not even in position to think like that. Y'all want to take this call? I think we got my man Jay on the line before we move on.
Oh, I got it.
Jay, what up, brother?
Yeah, what it is? What's going on, Jay? What's the deal? What's good, baby?
What's up, homie?
I know you got something to say about this Melo stuff. But listen. All right, here you go. Remember that jump off? I keep telling you that I mess with Melo.
Look.
And y'all laugh, but I could give y'all her name on FB, and if she adds y'all as a friend, y'all can see her chasing the Nuggets around. She won't tell you it's Melo, but she told me and my man it's Melo. But look, this is what it is, right? She already said, look, the dude moved her out east. She's back home. She's back out here. So while supposedly the deal is done, but the deal is set for a future date. They're trying to, you know, build the climax and all that, you know, for the trade, have people wondering what's going on. But the deal has already been made. She said it's more than one team on it, though. It ain't going to just be the Knicks or the Nets. There's several teams going in because now everybody wants to hit him the pot. She was saying he coming to the East. But here's the thing, though. Now everybody gonna pull out who they want, who they want, who they don't want, and just make a major trade. So let's just say right now that garbage dude in New Jersey, Lopez, somebody want him. The Nuggets might not want him. Probably like Phoenix might want to have a twin brother tandem going on, you know. But he might go there. So she said it's a big move going on. You know what I mean? You got Dumber and Dumber gonna be on the same team. You know, the two brothers.
He's throwing out scenarios.
What I'm saying is that she said that when everything goes down, people are going to be shocked because it's a lot of teams now trying to go in and get little people that they want in their little squad. Not everybody going to get Melo. And at the same time right now, like you said, Denver asking for too much. Why? Because Denver going to be the Denver of, like, before the Kembe days. Once Carmelo leaves, they're going to be a nobody. So they're trying to get as much leverage they can get to get more money to get somebody else. Now, supposedly from what she's saying, that move with Chris Paul is going to happen. It ain't going to happen this year, but Melo coming and then Chris Paul coming right behind him. So you know what I mean? And I'm going to keep it G. The reason I believe it's going down is because this is a chick I went to high school with that I wanted to smash. She looked good. I will give y'all her name. I will give y'all her name. Her name, Myra Arroyo.
You got to do all that, bro.
Yeah, you could have gave it to us off the air, man.
Pull up. Let me tell you, real talk, the shorty is a jump off. She a high-priced jump off. And I'm going to tell you, if the dude already moved her out this way, that means he coming out here. So, you know what I mean? I thought he going to put some bread to get her out here to go to Dallas while his main side piece is in New York.
So you going to say, you telling me shorty is that tough that he going to move her and then follow her because she that tough?
Come on, man. The power of the P-U-S-S, and y'all know the rest.
All right, we're going to get to our midseason picks, but thanks for the call. We're going to see if it all pans out.
Yo, good look, Jay. We holler at you, homie.
Yo,
look,
Jay.
All right, Jay is crazy, man. He said he wanted to But, yo, y'all know that.
Damn, he gave the government out.
Before we get into the All-Star stuff, I mean, just mentioning, the players and owners plan to meet during All-Star weekend. And I read something that said a few of the owners aren't opposed to contracting the Hornets from the league. Because the NBA actually owns the Hornets now, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They're like FOH with the Hornets. We don't need them.
All right, that'll be Chris Paul's reason right there where I'm not signing back. There's no stability, blah, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And he's going to end up with Melo.
He's
going to
end up on
Broadway.
Anyway. Let's get into our it's hard in basketball to call them midseason awards because the All-Star break is actually later than midseason.
Yeah.
But we'll call it that anyway. So let's go to everybody and get their award. Actually, I mean, we could just go one at a time, but we got to do it kind of fast. So let's start with the sixth man.
Pause.
Halfway through. Uh-huh. Jimmy, who's your sixth man?
Yo, I got a tie. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say I got a tie because Jamal Crawford, like, he's going to win every year. But my pick personally is Glenn Big Baby Davis, no rainbow, for the sixth man of the year.
Glenn, you got one for Big Baby. PJ, who you got?
I got Jason Widget, the World Watcher Head, Terry. And it was... I considered Baby and Crawford, but I'm going to go ahead with JT because he's the Mavericks' true go-to player.
Yo, who you got? Sixth man of the year so far.
I got a tie between Terry and Crawford.
All right, Bam.
Jamal Crawford.
All right, I'm going to have a homer pick. I'm going with my young boy, Sweet Lou Williams.
Yeah, and I ran in the chat room that said Lou Williams, too.
Exactly.
He agreed with you.
But yo, Randall pick a sixer for everything, though.
Yo, and also, like, PJ made a great point that Jason Terry is the Mavericks' go-to man. And shout out to Jason Terry out there looking like Ralph Tresvant.
All right, most improved player. Bam.
For most improved, Kevin Love.
I got Kevin Love as well. Jimmy.
I got Kevin Love.
PJ.
Way down, Moses, way down, let my people go.
That's my Kevin Love song right there.
White Moses.
I got LaMarcus Aldridge because prior to this year, I'd have picked Walter Woods over LaMarcus Aldridge.
Another shout out to Walter Woods.
Yo.
That's a good pick, though. That's actually a good pick. Coach of the year, PJ.
I'm going to go with my man killing them, and I got Tom Thibodeau. Considering what they've done, and with the injuries to Noah and Boozer, and he kind of brings those same defensive principles that he used in Boston to the Bulls, so I got Thibodeau.
Oh, thanks. Bayon, coach of the year.
It's funny. I got Thibodeau too, because I was thinking like, yo, we shouldn't be this good with all these injuries.
I know.
Yo.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yo, he stole my point.
Thibodeau and D-Rose, boy. Thibodeau and D-Rose, baby.
Hey, Austin, who you got?
Yo, Kill just stole my point, because to me, on paper, like, the Bulls aren't good. So Tom Thibodeau, as a rookie head coach, I know he's been in the league for a minute, but as a rookie head coach, I'm going Tom Thibodeau, man. You have to, man. Yo, the Bulls aren't good, man. They're not supposed
Blueprint.
To be there. They're balling.
Blueprint, who you got?
Yo, funny thing is I had Tom Thibodeau, but, yo, I'm going with Doc Rivers, and I'm going to tell you why real quick. I saw about two or three games where I have literally seen him draw up a play to win the game, and it worked like, yo.
Yo, I know what you're talking about, because I watched that. You told me to watch the behind-the-scenes.
Yo, dude be drawing up plays like it's 2K11. They just run the play, and it's like, it's sweet. I'm like, yo, Doc Rivers is nice.
And the funny thing is, Jimmy, when he's running them Jones up, when he's writing them up, he says, look, when y'all do this and execute this, that shot's going to be open, and it's going in.
Yo,
no,
but
that's
what happened.
The
funny thing about it is, I never thought Doc Rivers was a good coach. I thought they changed his job when the Big Four came, but then when they showed the behind the scenes, I'm like, I don't know, dude really be calling up some stuff.
So, yo.
That's a good pick.
I mean, they had some injuries too now, you know. But
yo, and real quick, and I rambled up a point, and I want to give him a shout-out too to Doug Collins, because Doug Collins is doing a hell of a job with that young team.
Yeah, he got some young boys.
They got as many wins right now as they had all of last year. They got 27.
Yeah, before the All-Star break.
That's how many they had all of last year, exactly. So.
And that ran
Elton
off.
Brand
said,
is, Elton Brand is Elton. He got Elton Brand to be Elton Brand again.
He got Elton Brand
no
to be Benjamin Button.
He said no love for Russell Westbrook on the Most Improved. I thought he was good last year. He just wasn't this year. He didn't make that big of an improvement from what I expected from him. But
Dad, who you like your coach? Who you coach, Dad?
I'm going with Crater Face, Greg Popovich.
Pop.
Because Tim Duncan, old as hell. Manu got a crazy sunroof going on the top of his head. They fill in like parts with a bunch of unknown dudes and
a bunch of dudes from all over the world.
They got a bunch of dudes from Madagascar out there balling.
Yo, they got a hell of a scouting team. Yo, they be finding cats in like the middle of a French playground.
Exactly. So I'm gonna go with Coach of the Year. So let's go Defensive Player of the Year. B. Austin.
I know who Brad picking.
B.
You?
All right. I move on. Who? Bay, what you got for defense, Bay?
I got the fake Superman, Dwight Howard.
Who you got, PJ?
See, mine real quick was tough, man. It was between Dwight Howard and Brad homie Andrew Bogut. But I think I'm going to take three heads. Some of his numbers are down this year, but he still controls the paint defensively when he wants to.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Superboy as well. Who you got?
Defensive, I'm going Bogut, and you asked me player of the year. I'm going with
Yo, nobody said player of the year, man.
What are you talking about?
Defensive player.
Defense.
I said I knew that you was going to pick Bogut, though, for defense, though, Brad. I know that's your young boy.
Yeah, but real quick, though, my defensive player of the year, I have a tie between two cats. It's Dwight Howard and Josh Smith. Yo, Josh Smith down in Atlanta, he be playing some D, yo. He be having cats shook, too.
Yeah, because Josh Howard can lock you on the wing. He can lock you in the post, and he can block your shot from anywhere on the court.
Yeah. So you acting like Atlanta ain't in America. They don't give a... Anyway, go ahead.
They don't give a truck. Rookie of the Year with a sweep for Blake. We only have to go through this.
That's easy.
Save time on this one. That's Blake Griffin, Rookie of the Year. All right, MVP. I'm gonna go with who I picked so far. I'm gonna go with LeBron. You know, he's playing on a team stack of talent. You can't really double and triple him anymore. But, you know, he's still getting it done every night. MVP to me don't mean that you're the best player in the league, but I'll give him most valuable at this point. Jimmy, who you got?
Before I give you my pick, I just want to say LeBron might be the first cat to win the MVP based upon what his old team is doing. But anyway, but my personal MVP, is Monkey Man, Derrick Rose, yo. Because just like you said about Thibodeau, there's no way they should be where they're at. And I respect this young man because the ball life improves. So I gain a lot of respect in this year. But I have him as the MVP, Derrick Rose.
PJ.
Yeah. Jimmy got me hyped because that's what I got. I mean, his game is visibly improved. Like, you can visibly tell that he's improved aspects of his game. Plus, like you said, it being valuable with the injuries that they've had, and they still had this type of record, considering their coach and him, he must be very valuable, you know, because they still won without those injuries of the other stars. So,
and with the physical talents and God-given attributes that he has, you know, you would think a dude like that would just rest on his laurels, but he's trying to stay still. Who you got?
That's what I appreciate about him.
Yo, I wanted to pick LeBron, but then the more I thought about it, I had to go with Rose. I mean, he's rolling out some games, him, Keith Bogan, Deng, Kurt Thomas, and who's the white dude, Omer Asik. I'm like, come on, man.
B-Rad.
Yeah, I'm going Derrick Rose, honorable mention to Durant and Godson.
All right, so that's all of our awards. We got somebody want to take this call on the Digital Extreme Technologies Hotline 240. All right, hold on, I got it.
Hold on, where we at?
All right,
240-353. You know, Warren, what's your name? Where you calling from?
What's up, fellas? It's Dave. Calling from. Dave. I'm actually calling from LA right now.
Hey, what's
going
on, homie?
What's going on, Chicago Bears, man?
Man, you know what? It happens. Injuries, man. Like. Towards me, man. It is what it is. We all been there, but this basketball season.
You going to the festivities?
I'm going to a couple festivities, yeah. But I'm glad I called when y'all talking about the MVP. I think it's going to be an interesting award. Of course, you know, I want Rose. I've seen this game, like you said, it's visibly improved. But I think the award is actually going to have to be changed or clarified because I can't, as much as I want to give Derrick Rose the MVP, if he doesn't win it, at least he's going to win most improved. But everybody knows this game speaks for himself. But LeBron, Sam, the Cavs suck. They are terrible, you know? And it's all because one man left. And I think he actually, even though he has Wade, and I'm not really a big Miami Heat fan right now, D-Wade's my man, the Cavs, the void he left with the Cavs is too incredible to ignore. So I think that's going to weigh in a lot on the media.
Mean, like we said, we were talking about that last week, and, it, you know, of course the biggest part was LeBron, but he wasn't the only person that left, you know, and plus they have injuries. So they do stink. Regardless, but they might not stink as bad as they've been looking lately because, you know, Mo Williams was out for 13 games. Barzal's out for the season. D left, Shaq left, Delonte left, and then, of course, LeBron left. So he wasn't the only one. But
well, what do y'all think about I'm going to let y'all finish. What do y'all think? Because I'm hearing a lot of stuff out here. I mean, people are worried about the Lakers, man. And that loss last night was pretty bad. I don't know if y'all talked about that, but they got to do something. I don't know if the Melo trade is going to be the move, but they got to do something at the shooting guard, the small forward position, to improve their defense. Because people are really chopping their defense up and getting their bigs in foul trouble. So I don't know. But I'm going to let y'all do that. Great show always. I'll holler at y'all next week.
All right, man.
All right,
Dave.
Thanks for the call.
I mean, with the Laker thing, like we said earlier, I don't know if it's time to panic. The Lakers are inconsistent. I think it's just difficult for them to get up every night, you know, to play.
Pause.
They probably thought that they could just walk into Cleveland and just win that game since they won by 55.
Here's my opinion. My opinion is that the game last night, both teams played hard, my man. But anyway, in general, blowing the whole thing up, I don't think it's time for that. it's like you said, it's hard for them to, like, you know, want to bring their best every night. They've been not only have they won back-to-back championships, they've been to the finals three straight years.
Yeah.
And if you also remember the Celtics last year, the Celtics limped into the playoffs. No homo.
Yeah.
But, like, you know,
people
they
nervous, that's the first time. Good.
I'm just saying,
oh, no,
they compete against themselves at this point. It's like, you know, they have the third best record in the West.
Yeah, and everybody's panicking. Go ahead,
people are nervous because the game, the loss before the Cavs game, they lost by like 20-something, right?
Yeah.
To the Bobcats?
The Bobcats, yeah.
Right, and now that was the first time that they lost by over 20 in like 100-some games. So that I heard that stat today, and that like the person that was trying to make it such a big deal, and I'm like, I can dig it, but just like y'all are saying, you know, they've had long seasons for like a lot of for several years. So that is hard. It got to be hard to play at a high level all throughout your whole season, especially on a road trip, especially with the break coming up.
On this particular road trip, I think they played hard in the games that they wanted to send a statement. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They beat
in
the
first four games, right?
Yeah, they beat the Celtics and. Did they beat another good team on this trip? They lost to Orlando.
Celtics,
or did they beat Orlando? No, they beat Orlando.
No, they beat Orlando. They beat Orlando.
Yeah, they beat the Celtics.
Yeah, they beat Orlando.
So then they go into other towns.
No, they lost to Orlando. They lost to Orlando. They lost to Orlando game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dwight went bananas on them. They won the first four games of the Grammy trip and then lost the last three.
The last three
was Orlando, Charlotte, and then last night in Cleveland.
So they lost the last three, right?
Yeah, they lost. They won the first four, seven games. They won the first four, lost the last three.
Lost the last three, right?
They were 5-3 on the road trip.
But also, if you look at the during the course of every season, the All Star break is here too, and it's in their hometown. Those dudes checked out. They weren't even there last night.
They trying to get their baby mom's accommodation straight. They jump off like Jay was saying. They trying to get their accommodation straight.
They trying to get Myra right.
Yeah, they got like 40 ticket requests per person.
Yo, shout out to Jay. That's the War Room official word for jump off now. We don't call them jump offs. We call them Myras.
Yo,
no offense to any chick out there named Myra, though.
Let me weigh in on your Lakers.
Hurry up, because we gotta get to the other.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it brief, man. Yo, I'm not one for knee jerk reactions, and I'm not one to doubt, you know, the West Coast champions. And then, yo, the dude scored 81. Y'all might think that's irrelevant, but the Bulls scored 81, and he MJ's son, so I wouldn't do too much doubt. You might make him angry.
Can't y'all picture Brad telling his grandkids that, like, 40 years from now? When Paul scored 81 points. I know he raped them white women, but he scored 81 points.
All right, let's get into the actual All-Star weekend and the contest. So we're going to just read the roster off of each contest. You guys tell me who you think is going to win that contest, or, you know, the rookie game and the All-Star game, who's going, you know, what team is going to win and who's going to be the MVP. So we start off with the rookie game on Friday night. The rookie team roster is Eric Bledsoe, DeMarcus Cousins, Derek Favors, Landry Fields, Blake Griffin, Wesley Johnson, Greg Monroe, Gary Neal, and John Wall. The sophomore roster, who they won as rookies last year, DeJuan Blair, no knees, DeMar DeRozan, Stephen Curry, Tariq Evans, Taj Gibson, Drew Holiday, Serge Ibaka, Brandon Jennings, and Wesley Matthews. So who y'all got winning that game, and who you got as your MVP, PJ?
I actually got the sophomores winning that game, and I got my MVP is going to be a repeat, man from Chester, Tyreek.
Tyreek.
Hey, yo.
Didn't he get hurt? Didn't Tyreek get hurt?
He's not playing?
He did. I don't know if he's not playing or not. They haven't announced that, but I think he did get hurt.
I think James Harden, who looks like he's from Philly.
Is replacing him?
Plays like he's from Philly. Supposedly
might
he's going to take his spot.
Yeah, all right, we got another MVP there.
All right, well, I got Blake Griffin as the MVP, and I got the rookie. Make it easy real quick.
All right, Jimmy.
Here you go. Hey, it's official. It's official. Tyreek Evans pulls out of NBA. Yeah, he pulls out of NBA All-Star Rookie Challenge.
Well, Jimmy, you got
real quick,
Dev. Huh?
Dev, all I'm saying is, like, I gotta go with the rookies, and I gotta go with Blake Griffin because I don't think that he's human.
Test tube, baby.
I think that he was made in a lab somewhere, and you know they also playing in L.A. All
right. That's true. They might fix the game actually, but bam, sophomores MVP.
I got the sophomores, and I got Steph Curry winning the MVP. Although Blake Griffin will have all the highlights, but they will lose just like the Clippers lose.
That's funny because I got the sophomores and Steph Curry too. B. Austin, who you got?
I got the sophomores, and I got DeJuan Blair winning the winning the MVP, Rob.
Did he win last year?
Tyreek won last year.
Yeah, and Tyreek was saying he was giving DeJuan Blair props because he had a really good game last year.
Yeah. And Harden had like 22 in that game last year, too. Those three rookies got off.
He's going
to be in the Garden of Blau.
It might be harder for them to win without the man, though, without Freaky Reeky. But
hey, Harden taking a spot. Right? So, I mean, I don't know.
All right, so... The next one is the higher shooting stars. Team Atlanta, Al Horford, Coco Miller from the Atlanta Dream, and Steve Smith, the legendary baseline spin move. Team Chicago is Taj Gibson, Catherine Cravield from the Chicago Sky, and Steve Smith. Team L.A. is Paul Gasol, Tina Thompson, Lips, and Rick Fox. Team Texas is Dirk, Nisha Hodges, from the Silver Stars, and Kenny Smith from TNT. I'm going to go ahead and take Team Atlanta because I think Steve Smith going to hit the three-point, the half-court joint, and end it real quick. Jimmy.
Yo, I'm going with your boy, Rick Fox. Rick Fox.
Yo, who you got?
I got Team Texas on a repeat. Kenny Smith and Dirk and the girl.
And the girl.
And the girl.
Yeah, I got Texas too. I think Jimmy Boyle gonna get off on him.
Who Dirk?
Dirk. Yeah.
Ain't no fourth quarter in that competition, is it?
Nope.
No.
You know he's gonna kill it.
B. Austin, Atlanta, Chicago, LA or Texas.
Man, I don't care.
All right, just pick one. Pick one out there.
Chicago.
All right, cool.
What's wrong with
Skills Challenge, we ain't even got to pick anybody because they don't announce. Chris Paul is in it to defend, but they announced the other four participants tonight on Inside the NBA. So who cares about that?
I pick Baron Davis for the heck of it.
Just in case he get in the joint?
Yeah.
I'm going to go All right, Foot Locker three-point contest. You got Ray Allen, Kevin Durant, Daniel Gibson, James Jones, Paul Pierce, and Darrell Wright. Jimmy, who you got?
Yo, how can you go against Jesus? But I am. I'm not taking Shuttlesworth. Yo, I'm gonna take James Jones, yo. Sleeper.
You gonna take Jimmy Jones? He's not gonna be able to shoot unless somebody pass it to him and he's wide open.
He's going to have LeBron get his joints off the rack and throw it to him, yo.
Yeah, because he's not going to be wide open because the rack going to be too close to him. So you got Jimmy Jones. Kill, who you got?
I got Ray Allen. I got Ray Allen.
You got Raymond. B. Austin, who you got?
Man, give me the cupcake. I'll take Ralph.
PJ.
I got my namesake. Last year's winner, the raccoon, Paul Pierce.
Paulie Pierce.
Man.
I'm going to go with
Get out of here.
Because I don't really care, I'm going to go with Booby because his name's Booby. I don't even like Booby.
And he cut stars in his head.
I don't even like Booby. He's a noodle, but I'm going to just go with Booby just because nobody else went with Booby. And it's funny to say Booby. Dunk contest. Kill.
Come on, man.
Blake Griffin.
Jimmy.
White Moses.
He not in it, man. What you talking about?
He not in it. I'm not about to say, he ain't in it. I'm looking at the roster like, who's Kevin Love?
I'm gonna take the Intercontinental Mulatto champion, but White Moses for MVP of the All-Star game.
Okay. Should be in it. TJ, who you got in the dunk contest?
It's going to be a forfeit because I think Blake going to break the backboard and nobody going to win. But if he don't do that, I got him winning. He going to do some more
awesome.
Ugly
you
stuff.
Got?
I got DeMar DeRozan.
You serious?
Yeah.
All right, because I got
like
you
mad.
No, that's why I'm asking you. Cause
he working with
Darryl
Dawkins.
And I'm not joking.
He working out with Darryl Dawkins, DeMar DeRozan.
Darryl Dawkins ain't got no show dunks, no game dunks.
Everybody picking DeMar DeRozan. That's like the sexy pick. Now, Rand in the chat room said he got DeMar DeRozan in the upset.
Yo, I'm picking DeMar DeRozan because he's 6'7". He's the only person who should be in the dunk contest.
Yo, just DeMar DeRozan, looks like a Toronto Raptor, yo.
Yo, it's two power forwards. I mean, two centers, a power forward, and DeMar DeRozan. I'm going with DeMar DeRozan.
Yo, once you get at 7 feet, you know, it gets a little questionable when you're that big. Yeah. But
and good luck.
Well,
good luck
definitely good luck.
McGee.
It's going to be tough. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to see.
He might have to get on his Sean Kemp type jumps. Yeah.
All right, so we got the All-Star game on Sunday.
White Moses, my fault.
Hey, yo, hold on. Before you do the All-Star game, I want to give a shout-out to the D-League All-Stars. I got the West win, the MVP being Mustafa Shakur out of Philly.
All right, I think that's
my
shout-out to Stevie.
Man.
I mean, I kind of left him out on purpose, but Kill gave him a shout-out. Anybody else want to give him a shout-out?
No.
NBA All-Star game. the Eastern starters, LeBron James, Amari Stoudemire, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, and Dwight Howard. The bench is the Celtics. Ray Allen. Chris Bosh, Kevin Garnett, Al Horford, Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce, and Rayon Rondo. And I called him Rayon because his name don't deserve to have a J in it. The Western Conference All-Stars, the starters, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, and Yao Ming. The bench is Tim Duncan, Manu, Pau Gasol, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, Dirk Nowitzki,
White Moses.
Westbrook, and Darren Williams. Who wins the game and who wins the movable? PJ, who you got?
I like the primate monkey athleticism on the East, but I think I'm going to have to go with the composure of the West. And just to buttress Jimmy's point, I got the MVP being way down, Moses, way down.
I was so excited to talk about Kevin Love that I brought his name up in a dunk contest, and my man can't even jump. It's funny because I was talking to Naran yesterday about this, yo. Like, I like cerebral players, and Kevin Love got major game. But, yo, when you gave out the lineups, it made me rethink my pick. I think the East may win because you know how they don't like to play defense until, like, the fourth quarter?
Yeah,
and Doc Rivers
money.
Is good. Is their coach. Doc Rivers is their coach. He's going to put his squad in. They're going to run their plays. They're going to run their sets. Like, yo, they already got their sets together.
They're going to run
Jimmy,
for each one.
I see you done drop Lewis Scola for my man White Moses.
No. Actually, Lewis Scola is in my top five, yo. We was talking about him in the chat room earlier, yo. Lewis Scola, White Moses. I'm about to build my all cerebral team, yo.
Cool. Who you got in the MVP though?
Oh, albinos.
MVP. I was gonna say Kevin Love, but now I'm gonna switch it, yo. After I saw Dwayne Wade throw that pass yesterday, the day before yesterday, I'm going with Dwayne Wade.
You know he won last year, right?
Yeah. Oh, he did. Damn, I don't wanna go back to back with the MVPs.
Yeah, they're gonna
give it to LeBron. They don't give it to LeBron.
All right, be
awesome. Nike gonna put the call in.
Even if they lose, they're gonna give it to LeBron.
East West MVP.
Man.
Be awesome.
When I don't feel like thinking too much about basketball, I just think back to the fact that Bulls scored 81. So the West is going to win. And White Moses. And White Moses for MVP because he work hard.
Yo, Bayon.
Brad over there sleeping.
East West, MVP.
I got West winning and Durant getting MVP.
Cool. I got I got the East winning because, like y'all said, their team is full of primates.
Yo,
I'm gonna go with Mary. I think Amari.
Okay.
I think he probably wants to win it. And you know, in the All Star game, if you tell your teammates, you know, I'm trying to get this, they help you out.
Because Amari wants to prove that he belongs.
Yeah, and plus, you know, his last few trips to L.A. haven't been so successful, so he might want to redeem himself for some of them playoff wins.
Yo, but, all I know is your man Doc Rivers going to start screaming at his team, and they're going to run their sets, and you know what I'm saying?
It's going to be a wrap.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
But, you know what I'm saying? He's going to start screaming at his squad, and they're going to, like, pull it out in the clutch.
Tell them, Joker, he 40.
I think, like usual, it's probably going to be a pretty high-scoring game. The stars are going to be out because it's in L.A. So, you know, if anybody we know is talking about they're going to the game, I'm going to just tell you stop lying because the nosebleeds are going to be too expensive.
Kim Kardashian going to be there, Brad.
I thought I'd
let you know that.
Yo, it's gonna be a bunch of Myras out there, yo.
Hey, yo, speaking of Myras, hey, y'all want to take this call? I look like we got Jay on the line. Let's see what.
No.
We about to go off the air, yo. Jay, holler at us next week, Jerry. Yeah, we about to go off the air.
We got a few minutes, Jay.
Nah.
We holler at you next week.
So, Gil threw me off with that.
We want to send a shout out to Myra and tell her we meant no disrespect from the War Room, and you know what I'm saying? We hope you're a loyal fan and listener.
Speak for yourself, B. Austin.
And
it's like, no,
if we can get that inside scoop, we wouldn't mind getting that.
Mm-hmm. You want to come on and tell
us
something?
How do you think it's going to go down? High scoring game as usual?
Of course.
Oh, yeah,
high
scoring, no defense.
Like the first
crazy alley-oop attempts.
Really, really boring.
I think they might try to get serious in the fourth. A little bit, just
135 to 131. And this is the first time I'm not rooting for the East in as long as I can remember.
Because AI on the team.
Yo, AI can't get a run.
AI couldn't make the All Star team in Egypt right now.
Yeah, but Yao Ming ain't in. How Yao Ming get voted in? It's because he got a continental.
You know how Yao Ming got voted in. You know how Yao Ming got voted in.
Continentals. He got a continent support.
Yo, a lot of people in Turkey.
May love you long time.
No doubt. Yo, it's almost a time to get out of here, y'all. Look, we want to thank everybody for joining us in the War Room this evening. We hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. We really enjoyed doing our thing for y'all. Check out next week, same time, same place. We'll discuss all the big sports topics of the week and talk a little MLB spring training. That's right, it's baseball time. Let's go Phillies. We'll also be talking to Gregory Lanzi. He's a screenwriter, director, producer, and founder of Different by Design, which, you know, is a production company, about his 2010 baseball-related film called Chasing 3000. So if you haven't seen it, go on your Netflix, do whatever you do, go see Chasing 3000. He'll be with us next week, so tune in. And matter of fact, tune in every week and spend your Thursday evenings with us. You don't want to miss next week with Gregory Lanzi again. So until next week, everybody, we out. Holla.
Holla. Don't waste your dollar.